He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He's one of our guardian redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all the grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We've had two readings about Ruth, and for those of you who were here last week, you know that we looked at Ruth in chapter 1, and today we're looking at chapter 2. I'm not a fan of the new year. I find that there is too much emphasis on making resolutions to change your life. For me, September is a month that I always feel is about new beginnings. Summer is over, and I think we've noticed that this morning. It's a lot chilly, much more chilly. And we try to get back to our usual lives. It's when children and young people start a new phase of their lives, nursery, school, college or jobs. I'm sure that we all have memories of those situations, although for some of us it's quite a while ago. How many of us recall how we felt when we first left home? It was exciting, but at the same time a little frightening. How were we going to fend for ourselves, cope with the everyday things that we had taken for granted, make new friends, find our way around a new town? They are feelings that remain with us, but we learn from them as we make our way into the world. Last week, Bridget preached from the book of Ruth. In the first chapter, or episode as she described it, which is quite apt as the book of Ruth could be likened to a TV soap, we were introduced to Naomi and her family. In chapter 2, we meet Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth, who have returned to Judah in the hope of a better life. Although it had been Naomi's choice to return to Judah, and she had lived there before, it must have been very difficult for both women to start a new life. In effect, they were both strangers in a foreign land. They were women who did not have any financial, physical, or emotional support, living in a society where females were mostly seen as a burden. They must have been frightened and worried about how they would cope. To support herself and her mother-in-law, Ruth decided to go to a field to gather the corn that the harvest workers had left behind. At this time, it was the custom that farmers who owned the fields should not completely harvest the corn. They were commanded under Jewish law to cut corners and leave behind sufficient grain for people to collect. Similarly, if any of the bundles were dropped, they were to be left so that they could be picked up by those who needed it. This was an early form of social support for the needy and the poor. Farmers were to have a generous heart and encourage those in need to gather the leftover of corn with dignity. And that reminds me of the famous saying that you can give a man a fish and you will feed him for a day, but teach a man to fish and you will feed him for a lifetime. Ruth chose a field that was owned by a man named Boaz, and although she didn't know it, he was a distant relative of her late father-in-law. Boaz appears to have been a good employer, taking care of his workforce, and he noticed that there was a stranger working in his field, and he asked about her. Concerned, he told her to stay close to his female workers in order to avoid unwanted attention from the men and to make sure that she drank from the water that was provided. He invited her to share food and to drink with the other reapers and gave her grain, so much that she was not only able to feed her own hunger, but she was also able to take some home to share with Naomi. He was a kind, compassionate man. And when she told Naomi what had happened, she explained to Ruth that he was a relative. Now, Ruth could have chosen any field nearby, but why had she chosen Boaz's? Was it just luck or geography that led her there? Or was it something more compelling? Why was Boaz so kind towards her and want to protect her? Yes, Boaz was a good man who cared for all of his workforce, but there's something more significant happening. Was it God who was helping Ruth and Naomi at a time of great need? Was it God who guided Ruth to Boaz? In last week's talk, Bridget introduced the concept of hesed, a Jewish word which describes kindness or love between people, the love or mercy of God towards humanity. Now, that's a loose translation, and I'm sure any of you who have studied Jewish law more will be able to describe it in a more accurate way. But for the purpose of this story of Ruth and Boaz, it could be used as an explanation as to why Boaz was compassionate towards Ruth. Boaz recognised that Ruth had been loyal to Naomi, so much so that she had become a refugee in a foreign country. She looked after Naomi and cared about her. She wanted to be able to support her and to ensure her safety and well-being. Boaz was able to demonstrate his hesed towards Ruth in practical ways by allowing her to gather from the fields and to have enough food to share with Naomi. God shared his kindness and mercy on Ruth and Boaz by bringing them together. As Christians, we frequently talk about how God shows his love and mercy towards humanity and how he guides us in our lives. We particularly think of this when we encounter problems or have worries that consume us. We might pray for guidance, and sometimes that happens quickly, but at times it's not always easy to recognise. My mother used to have a saying that hindsight is a wonderful thing. And it is true that sometimes when we are going through a tough time, it's difficult to discern God's presence. And it is when the problem has passed that we can reflect and see where God was in our lives. I'm sure that if you recall a particularly difficult phase of your life, you will remember the kindness of other people. People who gave you practical help, a cup of tea, a bunch of flowers, emotional support, or just being there to listen to you and praying for you. Kindness and thoughtfulness is a manifestation of God's love and mercy between individuals. By caring for one another, we are sharing God's love. Although we may not be able to see or feel God's guidance in our lives, if we consider the actions of other people, we can often recognise his presence in their behaviour and in their humanity. God's grace surrounds us and sustains us, just as it did with Ruth, Naomi and Boaz. And as individuals, God's grace acts through us as we show hesed to others. Ruth and Naomi were strangers in a foreign country. They were vulnerable, and they could have been seen as a burden. Ruth and Naomi were probably ignored by the vast majority of people. Can we think how that must have felt? Fortunately, for most of us, it is almost impossible to do so, but there are many in our communities who feel like this. There are refugees who are living amongst us who feel unsettled and uncertain about their future. Can you imagine leaving your family, friends, home, and all those memories behind you and arriving in a new country, sometimes after horrific journeys, where you're made to feel unwelcome and unwanted? It must be dreadful. While we cannot fully understand how refugees are feeling, we can try to help them, just as Boaz did for Ruth. We are in the fortunate position at this church, both here and at St Peter's, to work with the Helping Hands Food Bank to provide food and other essential items to families who are living on a very restricted budget. As many of you may know, the food bank isn't simply about giving people tins of tuna and rice. It's also an opportunity for meeting a friendly face, having a cup of tea, getting advice and support. And we don't have to gather stray corn in a field, but we can help the food bank by buying a few extra items when we do our supermarket shop. Food is very important, but so are toiletries, nappies, toothbrushes, etc. And we can also offer practical help with packing bags, making tea, giving our time to talk to people who use the food bank. Ruth was able to glean the corn in the field because it was a tradition to leave enough for people who were in need to collect for themselves, thereby retaining their dignity. While the food bank meets a really important need, as a church, we are trying to take the next step in supporting those who use it. I think it's this week, isn't it? This week, we are starting up a new group to teach people English at St. Peter's on a Wednesday afternoon. Looking at Sarah for confirmation there. We're starting a new group to teach people English so that they can find it easier to live here, cope with the bureaucracy that surrounds us, and we all know about that, communication with neighbours, make new friends, and possibly be in a better position to find work at a later stage. In order to run these classes, we need volunteers to prepare refreshments and to help with the lessons. But most importantly, we need people to share their time with those who are a long way from home and all that is familiar to them, to listen and to care. By showing kindness and compassion to those in need, we are reflecting God's love and mercy to all of us. I'd just like to finish with a prayer that will be familiar to many of you. It's attributed to Teresa of Avila. It's called Christ Has No Body. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Amen.